This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. As always, the program is being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen, a midweek PM hang here as we try and get through hump day, basically worst day of the week. But it's not bad when Brett Whitefield joins us because he went, I believe, 6-0. I just tweeted that he went 6-0, so I hope that's accurate. But either 5-0 or 6-0, and he'll join us today in segment number three. Not before we go through your very prevalent and important wide receiver cornerback matchups. We'll do the look around the league here at the tippy top of the program. All kinds of news coming down the line, like Dylan Gabriel being named the starter in Cleveland. We'll talk about all that good stuff. And we will also, of course, cover all the totals for the week. And I look into those numbers and try and figure out what they are thinking. So we'll do that as well. The program, as always, brought to you by Better. Better Picks is the daily fantasy sports app where you turn your sports knowledge into cash fast. Download Better or visit Better and visit better.app right now. Sign up today, get a free $10. And of course, don't forget to download the Prop Points podcast on Apple or Spotify, wherever you get your pods. Well, the big news of the day, Dylan Gabriel starting for the Cleveland Browns across the pond in against Minnesota, which is a pretty darn nasty first assignment. But on the other hand, I guess, you know, it's Dylan Gabriel versus Carson Wentz, but the Browns are, in my opinion, going to be leaning on Quinshon Judkins going forward and their defense. So I don't see Dylan Gabriel slinging it all over the field. He is a very experienced guy. He's smart. He's a gamer, no doubt about it, but he's small and the arm strength is lacking, throwing outside the numbers, things like that. He does have some second reaction ability. Overall, probably a slight upgrade over Joe Flacco, who was not playing all that well and did not have any mobility. So Shedeur Sanders remains the QB3. Certainly pretty good spot for the Viking defense if you have them. And we'll see how he acquits himself. But I think they'll start with the running game because that is the biggest weakness of the Vikings, as we saw last week with Ken Gainwell running all over them. They really can't stop the run in Minnesota. So maybe they load up on Judkins, but I don't think it matters. That dude is awesome. Quinshon Judkins, my new favorite running back in the NFL. How about this just coming down the line? I mean, it's not even out there, but my guy Adam Schefter is reporting that Trey Benson will land on the IR. That is a real problem there. He is expected, well, he's going to miss four games. So it's a knee injury. Never know what that is. Could be a grade 2 MCL sprain, something like that. Sounds what it is, you know, like a clear grade 2 where it's like, you know what, dude's not playing for 3-4 weeks. We don't have much behind him, certainly. It's going to be Amari DiMarcado and Michael Carter, the former Jet, who, you know, I thought Michael Carter was a pretty good prospect. I believe he played at North Carolina with Javonte Williams. I was just telling our producer, I interviewed him ahead of his rookie year. I thought he was good. He had a good year with the Jets. So I think he probably has a better chance of being the early down guy. But, you know, Amari DiMarcado is going to get those passing downs. And as we know, a target is worth about 2.5 times more than a carry. So I think Amari DiMarcado is, for fantasy, assuming we're PPR. So I think it's Amari DiMarcado, Michael Carter, if you're absolutely desperate, but I would prefer to ignore this, quite frankly, because I don't think it's going to be a very fruitful backfield in terms of the fantasy production, maybe a little bit more running by a Kyler Murray. They don't have much else. I mean, more Dortch. That's all we could say. More Dortch. Otherwise, Browns have also placed Sed Tillman on IR. It's one of these great examples of like the guy, think he's good. Don't want any really interest in him for fantasy. There was a moment there, I think week one, and we're like, all right, yeah, he looks good. Maybe he does get it done with Flacco. No, they have evolved into being more run heavy, of course, with Judkins. They didn't have him early in the season, and it showed. And boom, 3 weeks in a row, Judkins just bringing it. So that's the identity of the Browns, their running game and their defense. So no big whoop, honestly. No offense to Sed Tillman. Good hope he's back in action and all that. But yeah, he was kind of droppable. Maybe 2 weeks ago, Tyreek Hill, his agent told our friend Adam Schefter, friend of the program, that surgery went very well and the goal is to play again next season. I thought it was a very weird reaction by Tyreek. I had thoughts of maybe this is the last time we ever see Tyreek, but I guess not. So we shall see how that works out. We'll also see how the Niners get through practice today. It's critical. This is just a light walkthrough ahead of one day ahead of game time. But Purdy with the toe, Ricky Pearsall with the knee, and Juwan Jennings with the shoulder, ankle, ribs, general body soreness, I guess, all out of practice on Tuesday. That's a pretty important practice day. Now, certainly they're desperate. They don't have much at receiver. I mean, we're talking DeMarcus Robinson, Sky Moore, somebody I'm forgetting. Hopefully we don't have to go that far and we have both of these guys because it is a great schematic matchup for Jennings and for Pearsall. If we recall, Jennings lit up the Rams first matchup last year. That was the game he went for like $170 or $150 with three tutties. Would really like to be on a Juwan Jennings prop, but first of all, they're not out yet for most of the markets. I don't see it anywhere else because we're all waiting on these darn injuries. So we'll see about that. Jaden Daniels, by the way, has been medically cleared to return to practice, which means if he goes fully today, he should go fully today. Maybe he'll be a little limited. Then Friday, I would imagine, we'll get a full practice in. Or Thursday, we'll get a full practice in. And then Friday, we'll be good to go. And boy, Mariota was held down the fort pretty well. But, you know, Debo got it done last week, barely. Toward the end of the game, he got it done. We do need Jaden Daniels back for Zach Ertz because he has not been clicking with Mariota and, of course, Debo and, of course, Jaden Daniels himself. You know, I would consider trading for Jaden Daniels. Doesn't feel like the value is soaring right now. Doesn't feel like the perception is that he's a massive needle mover. So, yeah, everyone knows he's good, but I would look to buy low on him if I was looking for a quarterback. Jet head coach Aaron Glenn said that Braylon Allen's knee injury is pretty serious. So I guess Isaiah Davis is on the radar. You know, you'd have to be digging pretty deep to go there, but he'll get touches most likely, 7, 8, 9 touches, I'm sure, playing alongside Breece Hall. They don't want to feed Breece Hall the rock. They keep pulling him in and out of the games. This is kind of what they said all year. Then Bucky Irving is a big one here. Schefter reporting that the foot sprain is not a serious long-term deal, but he is in that walking boot. And not the end of the world if you're in a walking boot. There was a time when 20 years ago, I've been doing this 20, 30 years, you're in a walking boot, like you're done. You're not playing. But I guess the technology has changed a little bit. I've seen dudes in walking boots on Wednesday, and then they play on Thursday. But you should have Rashad White standing by. He will be top 15 running back this week. Not the greatest matchup against Seattle, but Rashad has run very well. Of course, the O-line is pretty beat up. They lost the guard there, whose name escapes me, but he's good. Second to third year guard. He's done for the season. Cody Mauch, I pulled it in. He's done for the season, and he was really helping out the run blocking in the interior. But Rashad has still run pretty well this year and dating back to last year. And, of course, he's one of the best receiving backs in the NFL. So contract year for Rashad. So he will look to maximize every single touch. What else do we have here? Oh, a couple of other little nuggets. Rams tight end Tyler Higbee did not participate in Tuesday's walkthrough. Kind of hoping they hold him out because I have a best bet today relating to that situation, if you will. So hold on for that at the end of the program. But one other here, Jalen Coker, eligible to return from IR now. And I think he might need a week to ramp up, but I would pick him up because, you know, I'm assuming you're in a deep league where there's not much on the waiver wire, but man, they really need somebody else. And Jalen Coker's got a good size frame, big body receiver. Certainly that's why they want a Tet for Bryce Young. You need a wide catching radius for Bryce Young. And yeah, Jalen Coker's got some pop to him. You know, for a big guy, he can move pretty well. And again, other than Tommy Tremble, who'll probably do well again this week, by the way, if Jatavion Sanders is out, they do need some Jalen Coker in their life. So if you're in a deep league with absolute skank on the waiver wire, I would pick him up. We will talk wide receiver corner matchups on the other side. Very critical. I did review last week's top matchup, cornerback wide receiver matchups from the website fantasypoints.com, which you can get it on VSiN's website now as well. It was unbelievable. Like, all the dudes who were at the top had good games. So why not take a look at that, which we will do, but we'll go through specific good and bad wide receiver corners as well. But first, if you think you know sports, it's time to get paid for it. That knowledge, Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Download the Better app. You pick more or less on your favorite player stats. If your pick hits, you win. Right now, the NFL kickoff, new users get free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. And when you do make a deposit, you can earn up to $200 in bonuses. Action on all the sports year round. So head to better.app, that's BETR, or download Better in the App Store or Google Play. Don't forget to pop in the promo code VSiN for your free $10 in your deposit. Deposit bonus today. Wide receiver corner matchups next.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Wednesday edition of Prop Point barrels on right here on VSiN. What's up? I'm John Hansen, fantasypoints.com. Brett Whitefield from the aforementioned website will join us in about 15 minutes. Mr. 6-0 or 5-0, Mr. Crushing It in week 4. So we'll see if he can stay hot. And we will look to stay hot by isolating some of the more notable wide receiver cornerback matchups. A lot going on here. But I try my best to isolate the five best and then the five worst. But maybe if we have time, we'll do a little review or recap of like the top 10, the top 12. Because, man, last week we have the wide receiver cornerback matchup tool, which again is available on VSiN's website now. We have the matchup score and the advantage. But the matchup score was really good. So I took like the top 15 guys, and it's – you know, there's like 90 plus players and it's like 14 out of the 15 crushed. So it's almost like a look into the future. And we like that, but let's take a look at the five positive matchups that I isolated. Number one is Justin Jefferson. You like how they fed him the ball last week. He's hanging in there with Carson Wentz, and they'll see a lot of Greg Newsome, who has been quite frankly gruesome this year. He's giving up second most fantasy points per route run on the board this week at 0.37. Next up, Garrett Wilson. Thank you for that catch at the end of the game, Garrett. He is so good. It's a shame. I mean, he is a baller. You put him, I don't know, anywhere else, he would be doing a lot better. I could see him like with Lamar in that offense. I mean, I could see him anywhere, but he'll see a lot of Trayvon Diggs, who is right behind Greg Newsome in terms of fantasy points per route run given up. He gets targeted quite a bit. And Garrett Wilson is good. He'll get it done. Davante Adams. I do like this one. You know, looking back at the numbers, you know, Stafford didn't go off in this matchup last year. I think these two teams know each other very well. But Davante Adams is a new addition to the team, and he's been a needle mover. He's been very good. So I think he'll be I guess he's not on the injury report, right? Because you do worry about that hammy. But he'll see a lot of Renardo Green, who is also giving up a ton. 0.36 fantasy points per route run. Let me just check in on Devonta. You do worry. I mean, I don't see him on the injury report. You do worry about an older receiver and hamstring problems. But he looked pretty good to me last week. And he's been, like I said, he doesn't get a ton, but he's scoring and he looks good. Looks really good. I did want to see that injury report just to take a look. Sometimes you got a little bit too much information flying out there. Is he on the injury report? No, I don't see him. Okay, that's good. We do have Tyler Higgins. So Devontae's not on the injury report. So, you know, that's always a little bit of a concern. Short week, we're looking good. Next up is Tet McMillan up against Jack Jones. I actually like Bryce Young in this matchup. It's actually a pretty good schematic matchup for him. They do play the Dolphins. They do play a decent amount of man, and certainly they're down a couple of their corners, and they're bad. Jack Jones giving up 0.34 fantasy points per route run. It's in Carolina. I think that helps. Ladd McConkey. People are feeling like a donkey because they drafted Ladd McConkey, but he is still good. I still believe in him, and I think this is a good week. Last week, I thought that as well. It didn't materialize, but we'll see Mike Sanristil, and they do play a lot of man, and that's what we want. We want Ladd against man coverage, and we want him with a good matchup. Sanristil, second-round pick from 2024. He was good last year, but he's not as good this year. And, oh, by the way, Marshawn Lattimore has been pretty good on the outside. So he'll see a lot of Quentin Johnston. So this could be a Ladd McConkey game. Let's take a look at the negative Nellies on the list here. Some bad ones. A.J. Brown, going to see a lot of Pat Surtain. Now, he's not impenetrable, but he is a human being, flesh and blood. But he's only given up 0.18 fantasy points per route run. Just compare that to what Greg Newsome is giving up. Who will see a lot of Justin Jefferson. 0.37, that's what Newsom's given up. Surtain is 0.18. So there you go. It's less than half. Brian Thomas, kind of scratching and clawing his way back to respectability as far as I can see, but we're not there yet. And I don't know if we get over the top against Trent McDuffie because the Chiefs were struggling early in the year, but they're starting to get their stuff together. Their weakness is Connor, the slot corner. And I'm sure Brian Thomas will get there once in a while, but maybe they do travel McDuffie just to erase Brian Thomas on Monday night. Debo Samuel. Now, I do feel better about the fact that Jayden Daniels is returning. I think it might be a pretty good schematic matchup for Debo. I'm still doing the research, but Tarheeb Still is the primary slot corner there for the Chargers, where Debo's lining up about half the time. He has given up 0.12 fantasy points per route run, which is very minuscule. That's a very stingy zone-based defense there in LA, and he is the stingiest corner in the world right now, giving up 0.12 fantasy points per route run. And then finally, the aforementioned Marshawn Lattimore will see a lot of Quentin Johnston. Might be a travel situation. Probably not, but based on alignment, he'll see a lot of Johnston. Lattimore has the size, and he's been pretty good, giving up 0.19 fantasy points per route run. But while we do have a couple of minutes to play with, let me just scroll through because I couldn't believe how accurate last week's stuff was in terms of the top matchup scores for the week based on the receiver skill set, where they align, the DB on the other side, where they align, their fantasy points per route run, all that stuff. Well, actually the number one guy is Josh Reynolds, but we're not touching that one. But Justin Jefferson looking good, Garrett Wilson looking good. Interestingly enough, our guy Stephen O'Rourke brought up Trey Tucker on yesterday's show and didn't do anything last week, but that was against a defense that doesn't play a lot of too high. Ironically, you would think he's better against single high, but he's better than against too high, and they play a lot of that. So he'll also see a lot of Xavier Howard. So don't be surprised if Trey Tucker moves the needle this week. And also, I guess Carson Wentz could have a good day because Jordan Addison – is up here as well. He'll see a lot of Denzel Ward. These guys are giving in Cleveland. They do play a lot of man. Tet McMillan up here on the list. Kayshon Booty up here on the list. Not that I'm going to go in on Booty because they'll see a lot of Benford, but our data shows it being pretty good. Got a little Greg Dortch here as well. And ironically, and I mentioned Shamari Connor is the big weakness. We have Travis Hunter high up this week. Not that I'm backing him, but, you know, never know. Maybe there's a prop out there that is viable because he probably could catch four or five balls. Devontae Adams, he's high in the list. Here's another one. And it's a shadow situation with L'Jarius Sneed. And I know our guy Brent Whitefield likes him. Marv Harrison shows up pretty high on the list here. And again, I liked Nico Collins last week. Once I saw L'Jarius Sneed talking smack about Nico, I was like, yeah, he's bluffing. So I'm going to take the over. And it hit. Barely, but it hit. It hit by like 6 yards. So L'Jarius is not a shutdown corner, and that'll be a travel situation. So I think he can beat him. Let's see. Anything? Stephon Diggs coming in pretty high on the list. Although I don't know about that because these Patriot receivers, you know, Stephon Diggs is going to see a lot of Teron Johnson, who I think is pretty good. And Booty will see a lot of Christian Benford, who is pretty good. But outside of the individual DBs, it's all about the coverages and all that. So it looks good. George Pickens also looking good. Ladd McConkey, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Zay Flowers. Just some names to pass along. Jameson Williams, somewhat high on the list. Just some names to pass along in terms of their individual matchup, the schematic matchup as well. Might do a little bit better than usual here in week number 5. Well, Brett Whitefield did a little bit better than usual last week. He was undefeated on the propage. I think I went in on one or two of them that I wholeheartedly agreed. And he will join us on the other side. He is data plus film plus football. Brett Whitefield. But first, the NFL season is rolling and every snap brings new opportunities. Make sure you've got the edge with VSiN Pro. Right now, you can save 40% on our football season special with the Prop Points promo code PROP. You'll get VSiN Pro access to everything we do across every sport from now through the Super Bowl, daily best bets, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits updated every 5 minutes, proven systems and pro tools, 24/7 video replays with the VSiN Watch app. So don't wait. Lock in 40% off today with the promo code PROP at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Brett Whitefield of FantasyPoints.com joins us next here on a Wednesday edition of Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Wednesday edition of Prop Points continues right now. What's up? I'm John Hansen, fantasypoints.com, and I'll shut my big fat yapper now because we'll go to the progressive guest line. I need to let Brett Whitefield talk because he's 12 out of 13. On prop picks lately and undefeated last week. He's on the X machine at BG Whitefield, COO of Fantasy Points and Fantasy Points Data. Very fancy title. What's up, Brett? I guess I don't even have to ask how well you're doing because you're doing well over here, 12 out of 13. How are you?
Heck yeah, I'm feeling good. You know, it always takes a couple weeks to get going, but once we get going, we don't stop. So feeling real good, man.
Yeah, I think we were just talking. Sometimes you avoid paralysis by overanalysis when you go in early. You know, like your first thought is accurate, and then maybe you're also getting some better numbers. Well, again, let me clam up here and let's get to the picks. Drake May, you like this rushing prop over 25.5. Now, we're not seeing a lot of designed runs. They're a zone-heavy team. So I'm thinking maybe you just think it's going to be a shootout. It does have a high total and that he'll be dropping back a lot and invariably running a lot. But what do you see with Drake May?
Yeah, game script for sure is going to be a part of this, right? I think there will be some scoring in this game, but I do think New England's probably playing from behind, which means a lot of dropbacks. Buffalo, ironically, has given up the most scramble yards to QBs this year. I know it's only 4 weeks, but they're averaging about 50 a game right now. And some of that is the teams they played. Obviously, they got a game against Lamar Jackson. You're going to give up some of those. But Drake May is entering create yards territory as a quarterback where, hey, when the rubber meets the road and he's got to make a play, he's entering that territory where he can just go get it, right? And last week, we didn't need him to do it because they were crushing their opponent. This week is going to be a different story. And I think when it's third and five, you're going to see Drake May go do that with his legs.
Yeah. And Buffalo's run defense in general has been pretty bad. So I'm almost, horrific, yeah. I'm curious. I'm curious. I just have a feeling that Ramondre is going to show up. I'm hoping it's Trevion, but you know, I do think New England is going to look to run that rock and maybe we do get some design runs in this one. Try to fight fire with fire with Josh Allen on the other side. Marvin Harrison, you like this one. It was looking sketchy until it wasn't last week, but up against Tennessee, they don't have a good pass rush. No Trey Benson, that may help. And he'll see a lot of L'Jarius Sneed. I want to prop over on Nico last week with L'Jarius Sneed. He's not that good. So what do you see with Harrison?
Yeah, L'Jarius isn't the player he once was that should, you know, give us any amount of fear whatsoever. So they also play so much zone. I think they're like, you know, bottom five in terms of man coverage. So that kind of eliminates him anyways. But with Marv, man, this game script just sets up awesome for him. This matchup, Arizona's pass rate over expectation is second in the league right now. They're throwing the ball more than pretty much anyone when they don't have to. And now they don't have James Conner. Right. Now they don't have Trey Benson. It just, the news keeps getting worse. So I think they're going to lean even more into that pass rate, right? And that just opens the door for opportunity. We've seen Marvin Harrison's first read share go up a little bit. I do like the role he's in. We just need him and Kyler to hook up a little bit. But with the projected pass rate in this game, the amount of dropbacks Kyler's going to have, you know, at 54 and a half, you need Harrison to catch 3-4 balls. That's it. It seems like an easy bet to me, you know, especially considering Tennessee's has zero pass rush. Their coverage isn't great either. So they're a bottom five team in the league. So this seems like a real comfortable one for me.
It does. I mean, I don't know if it's 54 or 52, but I see 52 here. Obviously, if you get 52, all the better, but I would sign off on 54. Michael Pittman is also on your list up against the Raiders. That is 52.5. I lost my Pittman bet last week. Should have won, though. I mean, the dude got 10 targets, looked pretty good. But this is a very good schematic matchup for Daniel Jones. They play a lot of zone. So talk about Daniel Jones and what do you see here with Pittman?
Yeah, Daniel Jones is balling right now. And I know he had the rough interception last week that kind of took them out of that game. But the level of anticipation he's playing with, getting the ball out on time, in rhythm, accurately, it's kind of special what we're doing here. And Pittman's been the main benefactor of that. And the books just haven't really adjusted to the role. Raiders are giving up almost 11 yards a target to outside wide receivers too, which is, that's like breathtaking. That's bottom three in the league there. They can't cover anybody. Yeah, that's a lot. They don't really have a pass rush. I know Max Crosby can be a one-man wrecking crew at times, but as long as you commit multiple hats to him, you should give yourself some time to throw. We know Steichen's going to dial it up with the RPOs as well. 52 and a half for a guy with Michael Pittman's role just seems kind of ludicrous against one of the worst defenses in the league. I'll take it every time.
Our guy Ryan Heath had a string where he showed like Pittman's role over like the last 12 games. Like, it's really good. You know, I guess we just get confused, or at least I do, that, you know, we're used to bad quarterback play. And we're used to them having four or five viable receivers running routes out there. So it's hard to pin your hopes. But at the end of the day, Michael Pittman is their number one wide receiver, and he's good. Next up is Chris Olave, Mr. Expected Fantasy Points, right? He's getting peppered with targets. And you like over 54.5. They do play a good amount of man, right? Is that what it is? What do you see here against the Giants?
Yeah, the Giants will step back and play some man. They also haven't been very good playing man, and they've given up a lot of yards, both to the slot and out wide. We know Olave will move around. I think his slot rate this year is up to 40%, which typically, I don't like the slot rate to be any higher than that, but that is the comfort spot, that 35 to 40% window, because that means your offense is using you to get favorable matchups. They're going to move you around. They're going to motion him. He's in motion all the time. And then you look at the route distribution against the Giants defense that have struggled covering the intermediate part of the field. We're getting like 36% of Olave's routes at the intermediate level. That's really where he can dice you up at. And then this new stat I've been bringing up, John, this condensed route rate, 15% of Olave's routes are being run where there's only three routes or less on that given play, which increases the target probability on those plays by 66%. Obviously, the first read share and target share is insane. What, 34% first read share? So you got the roll plus the schematic matchup here. It reeks of a Chris Olave, you know, probably 10, 12 targets would be my guess here. So I think the number's really soft considering the role he's going to have in this game specifically.
And plus, based on alignment numbers, at least, he won't see as much Adebo. That would be Cordell right. Flott. And we love Flott because he's we love backing people against him, basically. No offense. Let's move on. Alvin Kamara in that same game. I'm a little surprised here, but then again, the Giants have been run on. Like, what's up with this front? Like, they're underachieving, that's for sure. 57.5. I guess you're counting on volume, but Kendre Miller looked pretty good last week, I thought.
Yeah, I'm counting on volume. It shouldn't take much, though. Even if he sticks in that 14 to 17 carry range, this should be very doable. The Giants are giving up 5.8 yards a carry, 2.51 yards before contact. When you talk about the struggles, why their pass defense hasn't performed as well as we thought, it's because you have to earn the right to rush the passer, and they just aren't. They're getting in third and short all the time. It's putting a lot of stress on that D-line, a D-line that's supposed to be really good, but they're just not. They're not performing right now. Some of it's the linebackers. Some of it is the amount of too high they're playing. They're committing to, you know, stopping, taking away the deep ball. But, man, Kamara should eat in this game if he sticks in that 14 to 17 touch range. Kendre's carry total creeping up a little bit last week made me kind of nervous, but I still feel really good here.
Right. And what are you seeing with ETN up against KC? It feels like KC's defense is kind of, you know, getting their stuff together, but you like over 62.5. What is the angle there?
Yeah, they're another one. They're so committed to preventing the deep ball. They're playing a lot of too high on early downs, which is really rare in the NFL. They've given up 2.58 adjusted yards before contact per carry. ETN has been cooking this entire season. Liam Cohen's run schemes are just otherworldly, and he can manufacture yards even if the matchup isn't great. I like both the matchup and the opportunity here, though. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of ETN. He's totally turned it around. He kind of looked like a ghost last year. He's back to being himself.
Yeah. He looks like he was shot out of a cannon on that long run. You also have Jahmyr Gibbs versus the Bengals. I mean, this should be pretty easy. 71.5. Yeah. Well, we are up to the end of the segment. Great stuff from Brett. And Brett and I, along with Graham Barfield, do a hour and 30 minute live stream on our YouTube page previewing all the games. So if you like Brett's stuff, definitely check that out and follow Brett on the X Machine at BG Whitefield. When we return, we will look at the lines and the totals. But first, if you think you know sports, start getting paid for it with Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash. Sign up now, get a free $10, no deposit needed. But if you do deposit, you get up to $200 in bonuses. All the sports covered. Download Better in the App Store or Google Play. Head to better.app. Use the promo code VSIN for your free $10 and your deposit bonus. All the week 5 totals. We'll take a look at those numbers and try to hypothesize what they mean next on Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Final segment on a Wednesday. Thank you for tuning in. As always, I do have a best bet for the day for tomorrow night's football game, so stay tuned for that. But as promised, let's go through all the totals in order of the highest to lowest and think about and talk about what these numbers mean. Well, you know, again, our guy Michael Cohen, Mr. New England Patriots, is still blown away that Patriots Bills has the highest total on the board. I say go with it. I think that part of this is the Bills' horrific run defense. By the way, they also have some injuries, and we don't know about Matt Milano and Ed Oliver, although I think they will return. But Drake May has been good enough. They have enough weapons. So this should be a little bit of a back and forth, a little bit of a shootout. Quite frankly, I don't think the Bills are shut down D by any stretch. They're good, although they've been underachieving just a little bit. But to me, it comes down to their run defense. So I think that New England will be able to run the ball, which means they'll be able to sustain offense. And, you know, if they score, then we have a shootout, basically. So I understand this. I also understand the number two total on the board, that being the Lions at Bengals at 49.5. Number one, it is a good schematic matchup for Jake Browning. I know he's hard to back, but you know, I went and dug into the numbers. They play the third most man coverage, and he's actually 17th in fantasy points per dropback against man. It's not great, but better than 32nd. T. Higgins is good against man. Also, the Lions have injury problems. So Terrion Arnold is hurt, and he may not go, but I guess he's potentially going. But DJ Reed is doubtful, and he's like their best corner. So he's like a guy who's erased a couple of good receivers already this year. I think Brian Thomas, I think, was one of them. But I think we'll get a little bit of a shootout, and this is it, baby. Sammy LaPorta. Actually, we did win that LaPorta bet last week, barely. The only reason we won that is because we got in early. But I feel good about Sam LaPorta. I mean, it's the Bengals. Come on. It's the Bengals. They're terrible against tight ends. Commanders, Chargers, honestly, I don't have anything on this. This is a little higher than I would have thought. 48.5. I guess if I have to think of one thing, it's the fact that the Commanders play a lot of man, which is good for Ladd McConkey. It's good for Quentin Johnston. And it's good for Justin Herbert running. That's the only thing I can think of. But I guess also getting Jaden Daniels back. But, you know, the Chargers are pretty stingy on the back end. They're going to have to be patient in D.C. So, that's a tough one. But, okay, we'll take it, though. I'm not complaining about Vegas expecting a lot of points in a game. How about the Niners-Rams even tomorrow? That's pretty high, 47.5. These are two teams that know each other pretty well. The only thing I can think of, because we don't know about the Niners, is, you know, this could be a good day for Stafford, even though he didn't have a great two games against them last year, because the 49ers generated a worst pressure rate by far last week without Nick Bosa. So I think Stafford's completion percentage over expectation and passer rating are considerably better in a clean pocket, which obviously bodes well for Puka, and it bodes well for Devontae Adams. We're already in on Devontae Adams over 4.5 receptions at, like, I think it was like minus 121, but that's a pretty good total. I guess it'll be adjusted if one of the critical 49ers are out, like Purdy, Jennings, or Pearsall. Raiders Colts, love it. 47.5. Good matchup schematically for Daniel Jones. They play a lot of zone. Danny Dimes should be slinging it in this one. He should have a lot of success throwing it to Michael Pittman, get a little Tyler Warren there. So, and the Raiders will have to keep up. Geno probably going to throw a pick or two, but we could get some Trey Tucker action in this one, and maybe even a little Brock Bowers, but you got to love it. Raiders Colts. I mean, no real reason to watch that game unless you're a Colt or Raiders fan, other than gaming and fantasy, fake football. The Cowboys, I mean, it's a little high. Cowboys, Jets, a little high considering the Jets rank 32nd in pass rate over expectation. It's not the greatest schematic matchup for Dak Prescott, but of course they do play man, and George Pickens could crush man. It's a bad schematic matchup for Fields. I don't know. Maybe they're thinking Breece Hall runs all over the place. But we'll take it again, 47.5. Don't have a ton of confidence in the Jets offense, but it certainly bodes well for Garrett Wilson, we'll see a lot of Trayvon Diggs. Next up, we've got Chiefs Jaguars, 46.5. Not surprised. I think Mahomes is back. I think the Chiefs are back. Travis Kelce still getting open. Still looks good in terms of the ass average separation score and the win rate. And Xavier Worthy carried the offense last week. You've got Tyquan Thornton, beatable Jaguar defense, although they are respectable, but I get it. Jaguars have plenty of weapons to make it a game. Dolphins-Panthers a little higher than I thought. I think this is about Carolina. I think it's a good matchup for Carolina. So Bryce Young could do pretty well. I like Tet McMillan. You could do a lot worse than Tommy Tremble. So I think this is all Carolina because it's not a good schematic matchup for Tua and no Tyreek, although they do play a lot of zone, a lot. And Jalen Waddle is Mr. Zone. So I'll probably be in on another Waddle prop this week, even though it's been tough, even though we're losing, but we're like that close. Bucks, Seahawks, 44.5. A typical line that doesn't say anything. It's not high or low, but it is a good schematic matchup for Baker. I'll say that. Broncos, Eagles, fairly low, 43.5. I think maybe this is a function of A.J. Brown on Pat Surtain and also Cortland Sutton on Quinyon Mitchell. So maybe we don't get fireworks in this game because we know the Eagles can't run the ball. I would like the Bronco running backs. Or I would like, sorry, Saquon in the passing game again against the Bronco defense. They do tend to give up catches to running backs. I mean, this is going to be my new cheat code after winning the best bet last week, Saquon Barkley. They can't run the ball, so let's take the over on the receptions because they got to get this guy the rock in some way, shape, or form. Titans, Cardinals, 41.5, not a high total. They're not high-octane offenses, but it could be worse. There are lower totals, so Marvin Harrison versus Legarius Sneed may work out. Houston at Baltimore, man, this is sad, 40.5. So this will be a slugfest with a lot of Derrick Henry, I guess. And we'll see if C.J. Stroud, though, can take advantage of a decimated defense that they're kind of reeling. Giants Saints 40.5, nothing earth shattering here, other than it's still, you know, just a rookie and Jackson Dart, and maybe Scataboo just grinds it out because he's been remarkably efficient, and you can absolutely run on New Orleans. And then last but not least, enough said, 36.5. This will go over, by the way, in the London game, Dylan Gabriel against Carson Wentz. But I think the Browns could be thrown on. Certainly they've got to protect, though. But I would lean over. But why is it so low? Well, it's Dylan Gabriel against Carson Wentz. We have one more item of business on today's program. We are going to pop out a best bet. It is brought to you by GBank. This will be for tomorrow night's game, by the way. GBank is built with sports bettors in mind. Right now, you can earn $50 cashback reward bonus once you're approved and your account is opened with the GBank Visa Signature Card. While most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when it's your own money, GBank treats them as regular buys. That means no cash advance fees, saving you up to 3 to 5% on every deposit. You can also earn 1% cash back on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions and 2% cash back on everything else you buy. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. Well, we have divisional opponents, short week on Thursday Night Football, similar to last week. I think we need to get a little weird, so I'll do just that. Kyren Williams, over 8.5 receiving yards. We are projecting 91% more at 16.25, so there's that. Tyler Higbee may not go. He has got at least one catch in 10 straight. And looking back at the history of the matchup, he's caught two balls in three straight. He had a couple of really good games, a 10-target game in 2023. So I like it. Let's go over on Kyren Williams. Coming up after we sign off, it's Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 Eastern. On today's show, Kendall Valenzuela breaks down the key fantasy football updates. And that is a wrap. We'll be back tomorrow for another program. We thank you for tuning in. We thank Michael Cohen with Grinder Tom Brawley for some Thursday Night Football action tomorrow. We'll catch you then right here on VSiN.